Are you ready to talk Padres baseball?
We've got you covered.
Today, it's the home opener, and our host Jesse Agler knows that San Diego is ready.
They got the big old SD mowed into the grass in center field, and the place looks absolutely ready for baseball.
In the offseason, the Padres got better. As for Kurt Bevacqua, well,
I got smarter. Yeah.
And with all the crowds coming to the ballpark, we've got our enforcer, Randy Jones.
Well, in my day, I mean, every once in a while, I'd knock somebody down. Just somebody yelling at me, ticked me off. So I'd, you know, flip the guy.
Now, coming to you from the AMR studio where...
It is going to be a party.
It's Padre Social Hour, presented by United Airlines, with our hosts, Jesse Agler, Randy Jones, and Kurt Bevacqua.
Welcome to Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines. It is the home opener. Padres and the Giants coming up here at Petco Park. We're broadcasting live from the AMR studios inside the team store here at Petco Park, and already the place is hopping. Are you a fan of buzz and energy? Do you like those things, gentlemen? Because we've got all of it here today.
I like the buzz.
You like the buzz?
I do.
You enjoy buzz. You like the energy.
Always.
Who wouldn't like the energy and the buzz?
You know, and loud music?
Love loud music.
Are you a fan of loud music?
It depends on the genre of music, and it depends if it's the time and place for loud music. There is a time and place for it.
This is the time and place, then.
I suppose it is.
Yes, it is.
Whether it is or not, it happened. Hey, I mean, we're just trying to get this whole thing going. It's the first home game of the year. We'll talk about, you know, the last couple of days in Los Angeles because the season is underway. But today is sort of its own thing. It's its own special day. And it's absolutely one of the best days of the year.
Do you think it should be a national holiday?
Absolutely it should. Opening day. People just don't get it.
Yeah.
They don't get it. They don't know that players don't sleep the night before. They don't know that they wake up early in the morning when they're not used to waking up early in the morning. And they're ready to go.
Let me ask you about
the way it is.
Jitters and butterflies. I mean, because I think as guys that never played, you know, just fans, regular people, we say, well, hey, they're professionals. They get out there. You're able to zone it all out, all that kind of thing. For veterans even, right? I mean, there are extra special butterflies on days like this.
There are butterflies, especially opening day, opening week, your first time out there. You haven't been out there in 5 months. And, you know, you've been anticipating it, you know, and that adrenaline gets going, your heart's pumping, and you watch those starting pitchers, how many deep breaths they take in between pitches, trying to relax themselves. It's magical.
How many opening day starts you get?
I had four.
Did you even flip somebody on opening day?
No, I hit him.
I heard you talking about
the slider. I hit him on the shin. I never flipped
on
anybody.
Purpose?
Oh, yeah.
You hit a guy with a slider.
Oh, yeah. He's limping around. He can't charge the mound, Kurt.
Sounds like our fight in Atlanta.
Yeah.
The guy that finally hit somebody was left.
Yeah. Hit him in the ankle.
Let's talk about pitching inside. I
want
to talk about that because you may remember the game last night against the Los Angeles Dodgers. A lot to talk about, and I think the beginning of what to talk about, the middle of what to talk about, and the end of what to talk about is Adrian Gonzalez. Let me start here. I say, first and foremost, you tip your cap a little bit. I mean, the guy's locked in.
He's squared up on three mistakes.
It's unbelievable.
Okay, that's unreal.
But there you go. And mistakes maybe is the key word. You know, Cashner after the game, he said, hey, the execution wasn't there. The location wasn't there, you know, and maybe you would have said, hey, you want to change the eye level a little bit for Adrian Gonzalez? You want to make him a little bit uncomfortable? I'm not suggesting Cashner should have thrown at Adrian Gonzalez. I don't know that that would have been the thing to do. But when you hear a pitcher say after a game, you know, or you watch a game and you say you want the batter to be more uncomfortable, from a pitcher's perspective, Randy, what are some of the things you can do to try and make a guy uncomfortable?
Well, yeah, I mean, the big thing, two-seam fastballs. You know, he hit three of them that, you know, leaked back over the plate. Actually, one was supposed to be down the way. It stayed in the middle of the plate. But the other two were mistakes. You know, all I'm talking about, when you're throwing 96, 97 miles an hour, you know, all you need to do is throw a four-seam fastball, you know, right here to Adrian. Straighten him up at 96, 97. And then, believe me, he's going to approach that two-seam fastball on the outside part of the plate a little bit differently.
Just a little, you think?
Yeah, I think.
Yeah. I think the big thing to take into consideration last night was the home plate umpire.
Yeah.
I mean, he must have been a hitter growing up because he's certainly not a pitcher's umpire.
It was bad. He was lost. I mean, I'll say it. Like, he was lost back there, and it wasn't just, you know, one-sided. I mean, it was bad on both sides. You go back and you look at it. Particularly with right-handed batters at the plate, though certainly before the one home run, it was strike three. I mean, it was right there,
I mean, just so
right down the middle.
Yeah. I mean, I agree 100%.
It doesn't help.
It doesn't help at all. But, you know, the one thing about most pitchers today, Kurt, I think you probably agree, they don't know how to pitch inside. They don't work on pitching inside. They don't know how to do that effectively. You know, and it's an art. I mean, you get something you really have to work on. And I'm not talking about knocking the guy down and flattening him on his back. I'm talking about, you know, you putting that pitch where it's supposed to be just to straighten him up a little bit. So he's got to think twice before he dives out after that outside pitch. I mean, that outside part of the plate is supposed to be you as a starting pitcher or a pitcher. Yeah, but you have to establish that.
It's your turf. It's your territory. But you don't get it automatically.
That's
what
right.
You're saying.
And I don't think enough guys, don't go head hunting. But you have to work on your craft and work on that pitch and cutting it in, not hitting them.
No, we're not talking about hitting people. We're talking about making it fair. And when you've got a guy like Adrian Gonzalez, who's a great hitter, and he lives on balls that are out, mistakes out
right.
over the plate.
Exactly.
And when you talk about keeping a guy uncomfortable, I don't think he was uncomfortable last night at all.
No, there was a comfort level for Adrian Gonzalez. Three more home runs, his first three at-bats. He is the first player in Major League history to hit five home runs in his team's first three games. It's unbelievable. I mean, when you think, Babe Ruth never did this, right? Like Barry Bonds, whatever you say about Barry Bonds, he never did this. Willie Mays, Hank Aaron, they never hit this many home runs in the first three games of this season. So were they mistakes from Andrew Cashner? They were. He left them out over the plate. He said that. But that not every mistake that a pitcher makes over the course of a night ends up 300, 400 feet out to right center field, and they did last night.
The first three games have been unbelievable, Kurt, what he's done. You know what? That record's 52 years old. You know, at least three
Orlando
hits.
Cepeda with all the hits in the first
three
games.
Hits in the first three games. And talk about a guy locked in. And watching all three games like we all did, I mean, they were mistakes.
But there's no doubt.
Well, what's amazing?
But you still have to hit them.
You still
have
to square up.
It's hard to hit three balls in a row in batting practice. out of the ball. Well, it was for me.
It's well said.
I don't know. You know what? Jess.
Yes.
There's a lot of good hitters that haven't hit three home runs in a game.
Correct.
There's a lot of guys that have taken good pitchers deep three times in a game.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
right.
We have a story here, right. I imagine. Yeah.
Oh, we got a story.
you gave up 3-1 guy?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Johnny
Who was
it?
Yeah.
There
Johnny
you
Bench.
Go.
I mean, yeah.
Hey, but listen, it took 8 innings. I spread them out.
Yeah, I gave up 3 home runs to one player in one game. But
you know what really ticked me off?
And none of them were inside like that, out over the plate.
No.
They were all
Why
outside.
Didn't you brush them back? Why didn't you try
outside.
And make him uncomfortable?
For 8 years, man, he'd been sitting on that slider down and in, because the last time I threw him when he hit it out to beat me in 1973, I never forgot that. I never threw him another one. So
everything's out. Sinker ball.
I should have gone in that day, you know. You know, thinking about that, yeah, you missed.
Hey, it happens. Look.
Three in Qualcomm.
It's,
hey, he hit three off of Carlton, too.
Oh, yeah, I wasn't the only one. That's right.
Yeah. You like lefties.
Yeah.
All
right.
Yeah,
he did.
Here was one of the craziest stats I saw coming out of that game for Adrian Gonzalez, and we'll move on from him. But, I mean, craziness. Here's the question, Randy and Kurt. What do the Reds, White Sox, Marlins, Blue Jays, Nationals, Cardinals, Indians, Yankees, Rangers, Mets, Phillies, Cubs,
they have less home
Pirates,
runs than Adrian Gonzalez.
Even better. Pirates. Twins and Astros all have in common. After last night, forget home runs. Those teams, 15 teams, all had less total bases through the first two, 3 days of the season than Adrian Gonzalez.
That's great.
That's insane.
He had more total bases after last night.
Somebody tweeted it. He had more total bases after last night than half the league. Teams, not guys. That's insane.
The only doing post game, you know, on the radio and looked up on the screen, the only thing I saw is like, it would just had team totals for home runs the first three games, you know, 4-4-4-2.
Yeah.
You know, and the leader was Adrian Gonzalez with 5.
It was
one guy's leading the world.
Let's not leave him yet. Not yet. We can't leave him yet.
All right.
When he comes here,
okay,
our fans have to boo the heck out of him.
It'd be interesting to see how they pitch to him right off the start. That's what I'm kind of curious to see.
He left San Diego for free agency.
Yes.
Love him. Great athlete. Good guy. He needs to be booed every time he comes to the plate.
When Adrian Gonzalez comes here, forgetting booing, I'm more interested to see how they pitch to him, you know, whoever it is. And if there's something – and again, I'm not saying you throw at the guy. Nobody's saying that. But you got to do something, you know, to make him a little less comfortable up there, different variety of stuff. Although, again, to be fair to Cashner, he said last night, he goes, I liked the plan. He's like, our game plan was fine against him. The pitch is supposed to be down and away. Cash just said, hey, I left it up. I didn't execute. And the pitch ended up down the middle, and Adrian made him pay for it.
That's right.
All right, so they had the game plan. They liked the game plan, but it is what it is. Gonzalez hits 3 home runs, one-man show. Dodgers 7, Padres 4. L.A. takes 2 out of 3. We'll talk more about last night's game. We'll obviously talk a lot about today as well. Ian Kennedy is the 4 starter for the Padres, a guy that threw 200 innings last year, a guy that had 200 strikeouts last year. He is 4th in the rotation. That's how stacked this pitching staff is in 2015. He'll go up against the veteran, Tim Hudson, on the hill for the Giants today, the 1st of 4 against San Francisco. We'll get to your questions. We may have a player or two stop by. I don't know.
Well,
it's the home opener. Anything could happen. So we got a fun show coming up. Remember, you can join the conversation on Twitter. Just use the hashtag PadresSH. We'll get to the Twitter questions and comments as the afternoon progresses. Again, use the hashtag PadresSH for Padres Social Hour. And also, you can go to Padres.com/Social Hour, where there is a live chat going on. You can hang out with other Padre fans and join the conversation there. As your hometown pet retailer, Petco is proud to partner with the Padres in Petco Park. Thank you, San Diego, for sharing in our passion for pets and baseball. Petco, the power of together. Plenty more to come. It's the home opener at Petco Park. Padres and the Giants coming up. Padres Social Hour continues right after this from the AMR Studios.
We're back to the AMR Studio, located in the Western Metal Supply Company building. It's more of Padres Social Hour.
Welcome back, Padres Social Hour, presented by United, with former Padres Kurt Pavakwa and Randy Jones. I'm Jesse Agler. We are at Petco Park for the home opener, and we're getting set for baseball.
Always ready for baseball.
Always ready for baseball.
I'm excited.
Yeah, me too. Hey, Indians and the Astros right now. Trevor Bauer, starting pitcher for Cleveland this afternoon. 6 no-hit innings. Yanked. After 6,
pitch count.
111 pitches. He walked 5 guys. So the Indians are trying to complete the combined no-hitter against the Astros here today. That's a tough one for Terry Francona, right? But at the same time, 111 pitches, first start of the season.
He was on pace for 200 pitches. Yeah, no-hitter.
You got to get him out of there.
Might have been his only start of the year.
A guy that's wild, it's funny that they throw no-hitters.
Yeah,
we saw one of those.
Uncomfortable.
We saw one of those here in San Diego.
Isn't that amazing?
A long time. AJ Burnett, you know, for the Marlins. That's to me the one I always think about when you think about a lot of walks and a no hitters. Like, of course
was
he didn't allow any hits.
8 or 9 walks.
Yeah, he walked 9 guys. Yeah. Like, of course there weren't any hits. You couldn't swing at anything. It's got to get frustrating.
Plus, they were the hitters were uncomfortable.
So you want to talk more about the comfort level of all these things?
Yeah,
no, it makes a lot of sense. So what do you do? Let's talk more about that. We heard it out of the pitcher's perspective. Pavakwa, you know, when a guy is making you uncomfortable at the plate, what is he doing to you as a hitter?
It's not a good thing. You know, your heart's in it, but your butt's not. I mean, that's just the way it is. You know, your move, you want to go into the ball, but, you know, you're leery about it. You don't know whether that ball's going to be coming at your neck or whether it's going to be on the outside corner. You know, I watched Nolan Ryan quite a few times throughout the course of the years. And it was amazing the way he followed up a pitch high and tight with one low and away.
Isn't that amazing?
It was amazing.
Yeah.
It's usually the way it happens, right?
Yeah. But, yeah. I mean, but like I say, it is a craft, and you have to learn how to pitch inside. We have a lot of pitchers that will pitch up trying to get guys to chase, but it's not up and in, you know, with a purpose, you know, not setting up like that. I think if anybody on this rotation right that I've seen during spring training is James Shields will be the one that would do that. He'll straighten a few guys up. If they get a little bit, you know, leaning too much, that's what he's going to do. He'll straighten them up and remind them that outside corner is his.
And really for the fans, what they can look at is when they see their catcher set up inside, whether or not the pitcher throws it there. How often you're going to see pitchers miss out over the plate and even outside when their catcher's sitting up inside.
Yeah, okay. It makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I see
what you're doing. I see what you're doing there. You know what else I see? I see a shortstop. Clint Barmas. Let's just switch him out. Bavakwa.
Yeah, I'll get up.
Can you excuse
for
us for just a moment?
I was a third baseman. So
yeah,
left
side of the infield.
I understand that part.
We're going to swap it out.
Hey. Yeah, I love the shortstops, too.
Clint Barmas, Padres shortstop, is joining us. And first of all, you've obviously played many games here at Petco Park. Thanks for stopping by, Clint. You've played many games here as a visiting player. Getting ready for your first game in a Padre uniform at Petco Park. This should be fun today.
Very excited.
Welcome to San Diego. Obviously, spring training and Los Angeles, and now here. This is the real deal now. These last few days.
Yeah, here we go. Yeah, I mean, it doesn't get much better than this.
Yeah, we talked about it before. About the opportunity this ball club really has. You do maybe something special. We don't know yet. Jury's still out. But you know, all of a sudden, you're on a ball club, Clint, that it has all the pieces to make something happen this year.
I don't see how it can't be something special this year with the pieces that AJ's brought in and the group, the talent we have in the clubhouse right now. So it's definitely going to be exciting, and very excited to get opening day here at home, and excited to see the turnout and the fans come and support, and it's going to be electric.
You know, and Jesse asked a question, Kurt and I, about opening day, and the jitters and the adrenaline that even veteran players have. And it had to be the same thing for you, and then especially up in L.A. that first game.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, it's there every year, and opening day is definitely special, and just the electricity of the crowd and the fans and starting baseball, especially at home. But yeah, in L.A. Yeah. It was exciting.
I mean, even like here during the national anthem, it's hard to stand still.
It is.
I mean, you're so fired up and your adrenaline is flowing. It's hard to stand still, Jesse.
Makes a lot of sense.
It really is.
Clint's off to a really nice start at the plate, 3-for-7 with a double. Obviously, we knew you were coming with a slick defense, and we've seen that as well. This might be a tough question, but have we learned anything about this team in the first 3 days of the season that maybe you can't learn during spring training, or is the process just sort of always ongoing here?
Look at yesterday's game, I think it said a lot for the team and for the group that we never really gave up, no matter the situation of the game. Guys kept going up there and grinding through at bats and trying to get something started, and that's going to be huge for this club is show up every day and go out there and expect to win and battle and never give in until that last out's made.
And you never know. I think a little bit of, first 2 days really good with runners in scoring position as a ball club. Only like 1-for-7 or 1-for-8 yesterday, but, some long balls. And they're going to factor in, and that'll affect that as well. But I'll tell you what, 4 runs, 11 hits, you're going to win a lot of ball games.
Oh, yeah, for sure, with that stuff we're throwing out there.
I mean, it's the runs we gave up is going to be kind of rare. Going to start getting stingy. They'll get it together, and when they do, all they have to do is exactly what they're doing. The one thing I'm really kind of surprised is Derek Norris, the speed he's got in the two-hole.
There you go. Well,
where'd that come
from?
Hey,
I don't know.
Where's that all about?
He can get down the line now.
I didn't see that in spring training. Did you?
I don't think I saw that either. But
hey, last spring training game against Milwaukee, routine ground ball to short, I think, and he beat it out. And I remember being like, whoa, wait, just what was that? And it's not just a speed thing, right, Clint? I mean, it's a hustle thing. Like, these guys are all faster than we probably think they are. Let's be real, professional athletes here. But, you think catcher, and he's a bigger dude, obviously. He's a pretty sturdy guy. You don't think – but it's not just the speed. It's kind of the want to, right? I mean, that's got to be part of it in those situations.
I definitely think that's a big part of it. But, he's got some talent. He's got some speed back there.
Yeah, I was so impressed, man. I like that. It's pretty good.
Yeah,
Clint Barmus is here. Is the getting to know stuff still going? I mean, spring training is really good for that, obviously, just sort of the nature of it and the clubhouse there. But now it's smaller and it's more intimate. So is that process still ongoing at this point for this team, you think?
And it may be ongoing, through most of the season. But for the most part, I think everybody's gotten to know each other pretty well, and it seems to be coming together really well. So
yeah, you get that last second, all of a sudden they make another trade. Great, Kimbrel comes over, another piece added, which we're glad to have him, but still, another guy that you got to acclimate, to the whole 25-man roster and get him to be part of that family.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be too hard to have him fit in and mix in pretty well with this group.
Whoa.
You enjoy watching him the other
night? Oh, man, yeah, it was exciting.
That's great.
Yeah, it's never fun being on that other side. So having him on
you've been with
us.
There too. Huh?
Yeah.
it's something special to watch. Your role here, we kind of had a sense of going into the season, going to be splitting some time with Alexi at shortstop. We've seen the two of you guys both start. We've seen you both come off the bench. You comfortable with this situation? I mean, it's one thing that's said all the time. It's not easy to just come off the bench and play, but. Well, you had two hits the other night, right? Coming, after you didn't start the game, you seem pretty comfortable with the whole thing.
I think last year, kind of getting a feel for it last year was huge, and trying to piece together and find ways of being ready every day, if I'm not in the starting lineup. So I think that was a great experience for me, especially coming into this year.
What are some of the things you can do? You know, I mean, we hear guys talk about going into the tunnel, the cages, whatever it is, to sort of stay loose and be ready whenever you're needed.
Yeah, I mean, it's nice to have the cage. Pretty much mostly everywhere we go, we'll have a visiting side, a visiting cage that you can get loose in, you know, get to the weight room, start up, you know, depending on the situation of the game and how the flow of the game's going. You got to kind of get a read on when you need to start getting ready, and you just time it. Usually it's around the fourth or fifth.
Yeah, and typically anybody's pretty good about letting you know, when you're starting, you know, so you're not coming into the clubhouse, you know, at 2 o'clock or 1 o'clock in the afternoon and finding out you're in the line.
Exactly.
The night before.
That's huge too. But yeah. But yeah, I mean, for the most part, coming to the ballpark and preparing and being ready to play or to be
definitely
to
because get in that lefty righty situation with you and Amarista, mm-hmm. honestly, and Buddy likes that, mm-hmm. and he's gonna use that and take advantage of it when he can.
Yeah, well, I'm very very happy with it and excited for this year.
So far, so good, man. You keep hitting .429. It's gonna be a fun season. Yeah. Clint Barmas, 3 for his first 7 in a Padre uniform. Always great to catch up with you, man. Thanks for coming by and have fun out there. This afternoon with the Giants.
Have a great
day. Thanks for having me, guys.
Our pleasure. That is Clint Barmas, one of the new Padres. Answer to a great trivia question, too. The first acquisition in this offseason.
That's right.
For AJ
Early
Prowlin.
December.
Great trivia question there. New this season at Petco Park, you can check out The Landing, presented by Cabo Wabo. This private 300-person patio deck at the top of the newly renovated left field seating area overlooks the field and includes food and beverage. To reserve this new space for your group, contact group sales at Padres.com, group sales at Padres.com, or call 619-795-5010. It's The Landing, presented by Cabo Wabo. Big thanks to Clint Barmas for stopping by. More with Kurt Bavacqua right after this on Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines.
We're back to the show that gives you everything San Diego Padres. It's Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines.
Welcome back, Padres Social Hour, broadcasting live from the AMR studio here at Petco Park. Randy Jones and Kurt Bavacqua hanging out as well as we get ready for the very first regular season game at Petco Park in 2015. You get the brand new video board. We get to see all of that action. I don't know if we have a shot of this, but we don't. Sorry. But right now on the video board out in left field, they've got it so it looks like the old video board.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so it looks like the old one. They've got like a bigger screen with just the yellow and the black up top and a small video screen in the middle. And then I think right when, you know, we get going with all the pregame festivities here.
Boom.
Exactly. Then you go, oh, this is what it used to look like, and this is what it's going to look like now.
My whole goal is to stay off that big jumbo screen. I don't want to see my mug on that thing.
You know you're in high definition right now, right?
That's fine. Big screen scares me.
It scares you? You look good on that. We'll probably get some highlights on there at some point.
Oh,
you pitching?
Well, that's fine. That's old footage, dude.
You still want new stuff.
You can pull that up.
You want new stuff.
Fair enough. Thanks to Clint Barmas for stopping by. I got to spend a nice amount of time with Clint Barmas during spring training. Tremendous human being. You know, it's silly to say that maybe, but like really good dude. And the more I was around him, the more I got to know him, the more I got to see him interacting with his teammates in Arizona. I formulated the following thought, guys. Good teams have guys like Clint Barmas on their roster. And you say, well, what does that mean? That sounds kind of generic, Jesse. But what I mean is I don't know how he's going to contribute baseball-wise. He's a tremendous shortstop defensively. Like, elite. I don't know if people realize that. He is, you look at, you know, zone rating, however you want to do it, UZR. He is an elite defensive shortstop. And we'll see what happens with the bat. So far, so good. He's had a couple of nice at bat so far this season, but having him in the clubhouse, his presence, his sort of personality, even keel leadership, however you want to say it, good teams have guys like that on the roster.
And you know, the one thing I said it in early December when we acquired him, when we got Clint Barmas over here, I was excited then with AJ because having that veteran guy, and I knew what he would bring to the table in the clubhouse alone without everything, you know, the other transactions. But I was excited about that just by that reason, Jesse, that his leadership and just talking to him and getting to know him a little bit through the years coming through here. You know, I knew he was that veteran-type guy that's what we need to address, having some veteran guys that, can talk to some of the younger guys and maybe even hold them accountable. And that might be my favorite word all spring because I've heard that word a lot, and even from the players.
Accountable?
Yeah. I mean, they're stepping it up a notch, and, you know, they have expectations of themselves. And I'm excited about that. I really am.
Veteran guy, good presence.
All contending teams have players like that.
That's it. That's what I'm saying. And that's what I've sort of learned about Clint Barmas. So very cool to have him here. They tell me another surprise guest is on the way, so we'll have that coming up in just a couple of moments.
Am I going to get pinch hit for again?
One of the players.
No, I haven't got pinch hit for this much in my career.
I love it. No, I'm jumping up this time.
You are?
Yeah, I'll go have a hot dog.
Well, you don't even know who it is.
Yeah.
Well, what if it's like a pitcher and we want to talk pitching?
No time. Talk to Kurt.
All right, fine. Kurt can talk pitching.
I know how hard it is.
Trying to hit it is difficult as well.
I love you, man. That's so good.
We got some Twitter stuff coming in. Blooper, let's fire up the fancy Twitter machine and roll through some of the questions and comments that are coming in. We begin with Friar Fever. We will not take away your membership card, sir. Don't worry. He's sad to miss the game. I assume it's because he's here. But don't worry, Friar Fever. You still have your membership card. What else do we got, Blooper, coming in on hashtag PadresSH? Chance says, I smell a sweep this weekend to you guys. That would be nice. But four against the Giants. Boy, I tell you what. If the Padres sweep this series, we're going to send Seth streaking across the outfield on Monday before the game.
Now I'm going to make Blooper wear a suit every day with a tie.
He's wearing a suit today.
He's looking good, isn't he?
Yeah, it's a brand new suit for Blooper. Opening day, you know, if you work for a team, you dress up a little bit on opening day. You wear the tie and the jacket, and my man's got his brand new suit on. Looking good, dude.
What happened to you and I? We didn't get the memo.
No, you don't have to. That's the beauty of it. You guys are Padre greats. So you can wear whatever you want. Although, for Randy, this is kind of dressed up, right?
Yeah, I am dressed up.
Yeah, no, this is
in
nice.
My opinion.
You look very nice.
Kurt,
you
look matching socks.
Your
socks are the same. That's how you know it's a special day.
It is. Dress up when they match.
Those are golf socks. I know they are. You can't
no, they're not. These are brand new this morning.
Socks. You know what the kids say, Kurt? Your sock game, it's on fleek.
It is.
Yeah, it's very good today. It's an on-fleek socking. What else you got Twitter-wise, Blooper? We had some good questions coming in regarding baseball, too, not just footwear. Speaking of footwear, though, the ostrich boots, Randy, very nice.
Yes.
Very nice on the ostrich.
Still the most comfortable shoes I have, a new pair. I'm breaking them in right now.
Brian just saying, hey, it's happy to be here or whatever. Okay, good. What else? That's it? Okay, we don't have the same ones. That's fine. The Twitter machine is broken. Let's talk a little bit about today. Tim Hudson. We've seen more than our share of Tim Hudson over the years. Kurt, I guess at this point we know what we're getting. When Tim Hudson's out on the mound.
You're just getting a pitcher that knows how to pitch, and you got to be on top of your game. I mean, you really do. You got to look for a ball and not miss it. He's the kind of guy that if he's on, he's a tough pitcher to get to.
He really is, because he'll keep the ball down, doesn't make a lot of mistakes. And then, you know, when he's that consistent down in the zone, when he does make that mistake, the element of surprise will get you. You know, and I think just like in L.A. and in McCarthy, we found a lot of those mistakes straight back. We just missed them. You know, and that's a little the frustrating thing. But I think what they have to do is, you know, he likes to pitch, you know, the power of the outside part of the plate, take the outside corner, you know, and I don't think he has the fastball anymore. If you force him to try to come in a little bit, especially the right-handers, you know, that might be one of the remedies where he might make a mistake trying to come in on a righty.
Well, they would have beat the Padres into town by an hour and a half at least last night if they didn't sit on the tarmac.
So the Giants had some aviation issues, you found out.
Some luggage issues.
You did some reporting on this. What did you dig up?
Well, I sat with my old roommate, and we talked about it all times, and he happened to bring it up because he wasn't real happy that they got in so late. And he talked about his starting pitcher having to sit on a plane for an hour and a half on the tarmac for tomorrow's game.
That's not good.
The Giants had to sit on the
767.
Tarmac.
767. They have a 767.
That's a wide-body jet. So
from where they came from.
Arizona. So Phoenix, they sat on the airport at the tarmac at Sky Harbor.
For longer than the flight took to get
here. Because they couldn't get the luggage loaded.
They didn't put a net around the luggage and it slid.
It was rolling around, changing the weight distribution.
You got to be careful with that in the aircraft. You got to have good weight distribution. Otherwise, things can get
dangerous. Well, I told Boach, I said, that's what happens when you have heavy World Series rings.
Oh, so you're blending the jewelry.
I like that. That's good.
So they had some tough travel. I don't hate hearing that. You know, from a Padre perspective, let him be a little extra tired, a little bit extra cranky.
Absolutely.
That 340 is not going to make any difference. Come on.
An hour?
Yeah.
No.
You're not worried about it?
Hour and
Well, I know the old days, if we were on the tarmac for an hour and a half.
You're not used to getting sleep until a little later anyway.
Fine. I was trying to be pumped up about it. Hey,
be pumped up.
Well, you can be.
All right, fine. I'm excited. Pace of game, big thing this year, right? We found out today that some of the warnings have begun to be issued to some of the players. Some of the guys stepping out of the box and not really being cognizant of the whole thing. 10 letters have been sent to players. We don't know who, but so far Major League Baseball apparently has sent 10 letters. I don't know if these were electronic mails, emails, or if they were Twitter direct messages, or if they were actual, like, post office letters. But the warnings are going out. I'm not so sure about this a couple of days into the season. I'm really not. We'll see.
I'm all for it because I want to see that. You know, I need that 4.5 minutes.
All right.
The postgame will start earlier.
We're going to take a break. There you go. You want to start your postgame, Charlie. We're going to take a break when we come back. Very, very special guest. One of the new – how about this? The newest Padre will join us coming up right after this. He is brand spanking new, and he's got a pretty cool right arm also. He joins us coming up next. New this season every Friday, Party in the Park, presented by Southwest. From Cocktail Fest and Wine Fest to Beer Fest and Fiesta in the Park, the party never stops. First party, opening night April 10th, that's tomorrow. So get your tickets for San Diego's biggest happy hour at Padres.com. Craig Kimbrell, right after this.
Welcome back to the AMR studio. Live inside Petco Park, this is Padres Social Hour.
Welcome back to Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines with former Padres Randy Jones and Kurt Bavacqua. I'm Jesse Agler, and Kurt and I are now joined by current Padre, brand new Padre. He's still got the new pitcher shine on his arm. Craig Kimbrell, the closer, joins us, acquired on Sunday. Had to be a little bit of a surprise, huh?
It definitely was. It was a whirlwind of a day. You know, you don't expect anything like that the day before the season starts, but... You know, I got out here, got in the game the other night, was happy to get my first appearance out of the way, and looking forward to the rest of the year.
Yeah, we noticed that. We noticed your appearance. That's all we talked about yesterday, I think, for an entire hour on this show. First of all, let me be more cordial. Welcome to San Diego. Welcome to Petco Park in a home uniform for the very first time. You feel settled in any way, shape, or form, or is it just a total whirlwind right now?
No, not at all. I was talking about I'm homeless and carless right now, so... Maybe over the next few days or, you know, this homestand, I can get that all finalized and get that out of the way.
So Randy finished 8 innings. Now he's got a reliever in for him.
I like that.
I feel good still being in the lineup. it was – you know what I forgot about the other night? I got to tell you this. You got on the mound. I completely forgot about this. I got all jacked up when I saw that the first time because it went out of my mind. Until you came to the mound in the last inning the other night. When did that start?
You know, it's something that – I mean, I get that question all the time. I mean, it's something that's unorthodox and, you know, it's different. But something I started doing probably about 5 years ago. You know, I had a little bit of bicep tendonitis. I used to always put my arm behind my back and lean in towards the plate. So I started to let it hang. And over the course of, I guess, a year, it started making its way further and further out. And I didn't notice it really for the first time until somebody asked me to sign a pitcher. And I was like, do I really do that bad? But you know, it's kind of part of my makeup now. That's part of what I do. And it's been working over the last few years. So
well, I'm sorry. Just a little, yeah. I'm really sorry.
No,
I can't hold my arm up that long anymore.
Well, yeah, you're at a different point in your career than he is. He's 26 years old in the prime.
Exactly.
And, you've been out of the game for a couple of years now. Mm-hmm. It is a cool thing. It's a fun thing. And
it
I
is.
Imagine the fans are going to have a good time with that. We were just seeing some highlights from the other night. I don't know that you noticed it when it was happening in real time because you were focused on pitching. But they had a tremendous shot on television of Shields and Kennedy just laughing, watching you pitch, which we were all talking about and the fans were all talking about it. Those guys having the opportunity to sort of watch you work, and you strike out Andre Ethier. And, I mean, what was kind of the reaction from these guys when you got back to the dugout, or I guess when the game was over and you saw him out on the field?
Well, they weren't laughing. It was kind of I did my business, you know. It's fun to see that. You know, this game's supposed to be fun, and you know, with my new teammates, if they're enjoying watching me out there, and I guess I need to keep on doing that. Keep it light, keep the guys laughing. You know, I don't think the other dugout was laughing.
No, probably not.
If we keep our dugout,
they
laughing,
were laughing at the hitters, is what they were doing.
Yeah. I'm doing something right if I can do that.
I would say so. All right, so let's rewind. Let's go back in the time machine and pretend it's December. Late December, obviously you're into your off-season program, whatever it is you're doing, and I imagine you pay some attention to baseball and hot stove and all that. and A.J. Preller's here in San Diego, the new general manager, and he's making all these moves, and all this stuff is happening. So as a member of the Braves, as the reigning Trevor Hoffman relief pitcher winner in the National League last year, what are you thinking just sort of from that detached perspective as you're watching this all take place?
I mean, you can't help but have noticed, you know, he came in here and he was like, we're going after it. And bringing guys in and making it a point that this organization wants to win right now. And that's always exciting as a player. And, you know, that's what you want. You know, you have your teams who want to look, you know, over the course of years and things like that. And as a player, you really don't know how long you're going to get to play this game. So when you see an organization doing that, bringing guys in, saying, you know, this is the year, we're going to do it, I mean, that's exciting.
With the five starters that this ball club has, I mean, it's got to make you feel pretty good that you're going to be getting into a lot of games, maybe 20 games more than you're used to getting in every year with the lead in the eighth or ninth inning.
Yeah, I mean, from top to bottom, the rotation is great. And, you know, they're going to pitch deep into games. But, you know, the other thing, too, is the strength of the bullpen to get it there, you know, to keep those games close and to be able to get to that situation. You know, it's an entire team makeup. And, you know, we might have nights like the other night where we go out and, you know, it wasn't one, two, or three runs scored in a tie ball game. It was four, you know. And people ask me if that gets to me, you know. And if we're scoring runs, I'm happy.
Yeah.
You know, it's all about winning. It's not about the individual stats. It's not about how many saves I can get. It's about winning, and that's the bottom line.
It's funny you say that because I think a lot of us were watching that game, and I was kind of seeing the conversation on Twitter, and there were actually people that were like, no, stop at three because we want to see Kimbrel. Buddy Black said after the game, like, you were coming in no matter what in that situation, and clearly you weren't bothered at all by the four-run lead.
I felt like it was a safe situation.
Yeah.
You know, it's so I was super excited, and I'm just happy to be here, guys.
I can tell. It's a lot of fun. I want to talk a little pitching-specific stuff here. The breaking ball, the curveball, you told me, is what it is. I mean, it's 86 or whatever, which is disturbing. Just tell us a little bit about the breaking pitch and how you use it, how you like to use it, because it was fun watching it the other night.
I can't sit here and tell you all my secrets.
All right.
I don't know who's – no. It's, it was a pitch I developed over time. You know, I used to throw a slider and a curveball. But my curveball, the same way I grip it now, was about 75. I just started getting more comfortable with it. I was able to grip it harder and just throw it harder. So I got rid of the old slider because it wasn't good anyways. And, you know, at times it slides more, and other times it goes down more. It really depends on how I feel on the day, the batter, things like that. The biggest thing for me is just make sure I can throw it for strikes, because if I can throw it for strikes, that means they'll swing at it when it's a ball.
Yeah.
Let me talk to you a little bit about secrets. You look for a fastball, you adjust to break a ball. When you got a fastball at 100 and a breaking ball that's 13 or 14 miles an hour slower, you got serious problems.
Yeah, it's game
he's
over.
Proved to the National League and all of baseball the last 4 or 5 years that hitters have serious problems adjusting to the speed of his fastball and then the adjustment on his breaking ball. It's just very, very difficult.
Yeah,
to be able to adjust to it. That's all there is to it.
Yeah, it's been fun.
Well,
to watch.
I'm not going to go out there. I'm not going to tell you I go out there and I'm trying to set guys up. You know, my makeup is I'm going to give you my best pitch, and if you hit it, you hit it. If you don't, you don't. I'm not going to try to nibble. I'm not going to try to hit a corner. I'm just going to try to throw my best pitch and just try to overpower the hitter.
You don't want to try to hit corners on that umpire last night.
No,
not
at all. Oh, he was pretty tight last night.
Yeah, yeah. We don't want to get Craig Kimbrel in trouble, but that was a joke last night at times. Hey, man, thanks for stopping by. Awesome to meet you. Welcome. Everybody, too, make sure you follow Craig on Twitter, at Kimbrel46, last name, jersey number. Easy to remember. Great to meet you, man. Thanks so much.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Welcome to San Diego, Craig Kimbrel, a very, very exciting addition. If you're headed to the Party in the Park, presented by Southwest tomorrow, while you're at the biggest happy hour in San Diego, you can check out the Maui Jim sunglasses booth with lenses that eliminate glare and make colors pop. Maui Jim sunglasses don't shield your view of the world. They bring it to life. So stop by and grab a pair of Maui Jim sunglasses coming up at the Party in the Park. That's tomorrow at happy hour. We'll take a break. When we come back, more with Randy Jones and Kurt Bavacqua. Thanks again to Craig Kimbrel.
You want some Padres talk?
We've got that.
Padres Social Hour returns now, presented by United Airlines.
Back at the AMR studio of Petco Park, home opener, Padres and the Giants coming up. This place is going to be jam-packed today.
It is going to be jam-packed.
We gave away a couple of pair of tickets the last couple of days, having fun. I got to put you on the hot seat, though, gentlemen. This is going to be a co-hot seat. We've never done this before. Padres Social Hour history, both Kurt Bavacqua and Randy Jones are going on the Cholula hot seat. Gentlemen, first of all, I want to thank Craig Kimbrell for stopping by.
I really hope we see a lot of him this
year.
I know Jesse wants to see a lot of him.
I know Jesse wants to.
Honestly, watching him pitch the other night, that was the most fun I've ever had on Twitter in my life. Like, we got some people. Rick is here. RJ's Fro is here. I saw Dark Glider here from Gaslamp. Like, those of us who are very active on Twitter during Padre games, I don't know that I've ever had more fun on Twitter than when he was pitching in that game the other night, because it was a joke. It was 16 pitches, 10 strikes, 3 strikeouts, you know, to close out the Dodgers, pick up the first win of the season. It was so fun, like, in real time sort of reacting to it. And he's so like, eh, it's no big deal. Like, that's his, like, personality or whatever. But, yeah, 96, 97, 98, 99, and then what did he say? I just learned to hold the curveball tighter, and so then it just went faster.
Whatever works, man.
Kurt, that's you're getting into amazing. The box against Craig Kimbrell. Your plan of attack is what? You're on the hot seat.
I just want to get in and out.
Just survive?
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying? Just try and foul a couple off, maybe?
From what I saw, you set fastball and you swing hard in case you hit.
Well, you have to.
That's it. You're not going to hit that breaking ball, and you can't adjust for both. You got to throw
one of the
other.
I tell you, he threw quite a few breaking balls the other night, though.
First two strikeouts were on breaking balls.
But also, you know, he didn't hit, if that breaking ball's not there and he comes out of the bullpen, he'll just throw you cheese.
Yeah, he'll just
I know, and throw it by you.
Yeah.
But you notice where all the breaking balls were, though.
Exactly.
They were all down.
Yeah.
Out of the strike zone.
Fell off the table. You know, Norris kind of catches him like that, you know, allowing him to fall right into the mitt. It was filthy.
Yeah, but it is filthy when it breaks that late. The 186 miles an hour, that was a late breaking ball down there. So it looks like a fastball coming in.
Then he just threw some cheese by the last hit.
Yeah.
No, you want to end it on a
He does
on
that
fun
a
note.
Lot.
You use an exclamation point for the third out.
99.
it was fun to watch. Kurt Kimbrell was very good. All right, so your approach, I put you on the hot seat here, Kurt, and your approach would be to just survive the at-bat.
Exactly what I said when he was sitting here. Yeah. You got to look for fastball and adjust to breaking ball. There's just some guys that it's a little harder to do that.
Randy, what did you make of him saying he's not even trying to set guys up?
No, he does it naturally.
Yeah.
You know, when you throw 97, 98 miles an hour, you're setting guys up for a breaking ball.
I was going to say liar, liar, pants on fire.
You go ahead, man. Make his day.
I said I was going to.
Yeah. His hands around your neck, man.
You backed off that one. Amazing, too. You know, I mean, the arm thing, beautiful. Everybody knows about the arm thing, but it was cool hearing from Kimbrell that it was, you know, he had some, you know, soreness or whatever, so he just sort of was told, hey, start moving it out that way. And then eventually it ended up there.
Whoa.
And now it's sort of part of the deal. There's an intimidation thing going on there, I think.
Well, yeah,
also.
But I mean, is it superstition now?
Yeah.
It's 5 years. He's done pretty well.
Yeah that's what I mean.
In the last 5 years.
All-star, you know. All-star, all-star, all-star. So,
That'd have been like me winning 20 games in 75 and straightening my hair.
Why would I do that?
Yeah. Oh, that hair was something.
That's what I mean, man.
It was.
All time.
Straight hair, that'd have been bad.
All right. Nicely done on the Cholula hot seat. Cholula's the flavorful hot sauce with the iconic wooden cap for a punch of delicious jalapeno and poblano. Check out the new green pepper sauce flavor today. We are closing in on first pitch, 3:40. An hour and 20 minutes from now, a special long edition of Padres Live, the pregame show on Fox Sports San Diego, is coming up. We'll come back and wrap up Padres Social Hour right after this.
From start to finish, it's the best 60 minutes of Padres talk you'll find anywhere. Now, from the AMR studio, it's more of Padres Social Hour.
Padres Social Hour presented by United Airlines. Home opener at Petco Park this afternoon with Randy Jones and Kurt Bavacqua. I'm Jesse Agler. Thanks again to Clint Barmas and Craig Kimbrell for stopping by. Some Twitter reaction to the Craig Kimbrell interview. Tim says, awesome watching Kimbrell 46 on Padres SH. Really glad he's part of the team. Betty comes at it a different way. She says, Kimbrell 46 has a beautiful smile. So a little something for everybody here on Padres Social Hour today. Now let's take a look at the starting lineup for the Padres.
Hey.
For today's game. A very familiar lineup. Myers, Norris, Kemp, Upton, Middlebrooks, Alonso, Jerko, Amarista, Kennedy. The starting lineup presented by United Airlines. Proud to fly the Padres and fans to every away game. United, fly the friendly skies. I think, is it fair to say, guys, you think we're getting a sense of how Buddy's going to do the lineup here most days?
I think so.
I think so.
Yep. You're going to see probably Amarista against the right-handed starter, like you got today.
And
with
you got
Barmson.
Yeah,
you got Barmson
and the other ones.
Yeah,
I could see the possibility of Alonzo being moved up in the lineup after Upton in some situations.
Okay.
But we'll see.
All right.
Not taking anything away from Middlebrook.
No, I
about well, but
hey, you go with the hot hand. You got options this year. What
good
else
job.
Can you
go.
Ask for? Hey,
good
next
job.
Padres Social Hour tomorrow at 5:30. Enjoy the game.